Hey there, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Overreaction Monday. We are still in our homes because it is New Year's Day 2024, and we are off today because I'm going to the Rose Bowl. And yeah. Chris Brockman, you are just going to be chilling out and hanging out, and we're ready to do Overreaction Monday.
That's right, man. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year, everybody out there. Thanks, everybody, for watching this. Can't wait to see. We're obviously recording this Monday morning. Can't wait to see the games today. And now everything plays out.
Week 17 is in the books. And as always, this edition of Overreaction Monday is brought to you by our friends at Game Time. You can go and get tickets to any event you want, sports, concerts, what have you. Go and check out killer last-minute deals, all-in prices and views from your seats. You know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Visit GameTime.co for terms because restrictions apply. Use my code OVERREACTION for $20 off your first purchase. Chris Brockman, Happy New Year to you. What a wild week 17 that is now in the books. Lots to talk about. So are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. First one of the new year. Let's do it.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. Okay, Christopher, have at it. What do you got for me?
Oh, Rich, let's just get right to it. I cannot believe what happened in Baltimore yesterday. Rich, a Harbaugh is winning a championship this year.
Why would you do this to me right off the bat?
Because, you know, what other way should we start 2024 of Overreaction Monday?
Let me just say this.
Right through the front door.
Let me just say this because, you know, I have been spending every waking moment of watching Week 17 action from Thursday's Jets-Browns game to the Lions-Cowboys nutty finish all the way through game day morning on NFL Network. All the way through the early 10 games in the 1 o'clock hour, and then the three late games, and then the Sunday night game. Every single minute I've been trying to avoid thinking about the Rose Bowl, and here we are, because every single time I think about the Rose Bowl and Michigan versus Alabama, my stomach drops and my whole body begins to just begin to seize up. And this is the way you start with me. I'll say this is not an overreaction. I have no idea which Harbaugh is going to do it. But the Ravens certainly putting up a 50-burger on the Dolphins and then banging them up. By the way, Bradley Chubb going down and getting carted off was really awful to see for the Miami Dolphins. But the Ravens just did that to Miami. I know they didn't have Mostert, and I know they did not have Jalen Waddle. And if they see each other again, I hope that everybody's fully healthy. But the Ravens didn't have Kyle Hamilton, and the defense still did what it did. So you look at what the Ravens look like and the way that they treated the de facto best team in the NFL before they abused them on Christmas night, best team in the NFC. I still think the Niners are that. It's hard to sit here and think the Ravens aren't the front runners for the Super Bowl. And that's where I'm going to leave it, because the rest of this conversation could be dated by the time most people hear this podcast.
Could be. Really impressive, Lamar Jackson. How many fantasy championships did he win for people yesterday? Obviously, we said it last week that he had locked up MVP. Well, it's a foregone conclusion now. He's a massive favorite for his second award. Congratulations to them. What a season for Baltimore.
Especially since he may not play in Week 18.
Yeah, of course.
Although the Steelers and Ravens are one of the two Saturday games on the worldwide leader. Setting up the Week 18 NFL season finale weekend, so which would be huge for the Steelers, obviously. Although, you know, Tyler Huntley, as I got a text from Cooper, my 12-year-old son, during the games yesterday, that Tyler Huntley had more fantasy points than Bryce Young. So, which, by the way, was true. Yep. That said, this is not an overreaction. And okay. What else do you have, Christopher?
All right, Rich, let's go to Saturday. We mentioned it, the wacky, insane finish in Dallas. You know what, Rich? Dan Campbell should have kicked the PAT after the penalty and played for overtime.
You know, because, again, I've been involved with a lot of Michigan events over the weekend leading up to the Rose Bowl here in Los Angeles, and I've run into a ton of Lions fans who spent, Saturday night on the edge of their seats, and then Sunday asking questions of me and others that they've come across, like, how badly did the referees blow that? And Brad Allen blew it. There's no question in my mind that the Lions attempted to confuse the Cowboys by running a three offensive linemen up to the head referee, leaving some confusion as to who was reporting, who was eligible, who was not, and they wound up confusing Brad Allen, despite going up to the officials, apparently, before the game to walk them through, as Dan Campbell used his hand motion on the podium afterwards, saying, we walked them through everything to a T. They confused Brad Allen. So that's unfortunate because the Lions executed it perfectly. Their formation was absolutely perfectly aligned for the way that they did report, not the way that Brad Allen thought they reported. But there's no reason why Dan Campbell didn't there's no reason why Dan Campbell had to go for two from the 7 yard line. Right. And then again, from the 3.5, there's no reason for that other than the fact that he said afterwards, I told the team we were going to go down the field and go for two. There's an opportunity to change the battle plan at the end when, something goes all foobar. So I don't know why he did not kick the point after, other than the fact that CeeDee Lamb was unstoppable, which is another reason why the Lions lost on Saturday night. Is CeeDee Lamb, you mentioned earlier in the pod, how many fantasy finals did Lamar win? How many fantasy finals did CeeDee Lamb win? Yes, he should have kicked the point after. I don't think that's 2020 hindsight. I was thinking that at the time. How insane is this that he's going for two from the 7 yard line?
Hey, me too. Couldn't believe it.
They had 23 seconds left on the clock. Only one timeout for the Cowboys. I saw a lot of people saying that the Cowboys had all their timeouts remaining. There's only one left for Dallas. So, there was an opportunity for Dallas to get in position, and Brandon Aubrey could kick from 65 yards, I think we've seen. So there was an opportunity to leave the back door open and lose because they kicked the extra point. But the best opportunity, I think, for the Lions to have won after Brad Allen screwed it up was to kick the point after, go into overtime, and live for another day. And had the Lions won in overtime, we wouldn't be discussing Brad Allen and that officiating crew as much as we have over the last 48 hours leading up to this pod's conversation.
Yeah, just too bad all around, but impressive showing, impressive game defensively from both teams. And, CeeDee Lamb just went God mode, and that's just what you need heading into the playoffs if you're the Cowboys.
Absolutely, certainly, since they're much better at home, and it looks like they're going to be the 2 seed right now. All they have to do is just win at Washington, and they're in, which is, always a difficult thing to assume when it's the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington football team / Commanders. We shall see, though. I will call that an overreaction to start, though.
Rich, speaking of the Lions, man, and what a story out here in Los Angeles with the Rams locking up a playoff berth win. Look, myself included, hand up. Didn't think they were going to do it this year. Thought they were in tank mode. Thought it was a rebuild. What a job by Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Rich, Matthew Stafford is going to go to Detroit and win a playoff game.
I will just call that an overreaction. I can't sit here and say the Rams are definitely winning that playoff game. The Lions have played much better over the last few weeks. They should have won in Dallas.
They righted the ship.
And I can't sit here and say the Rams are winning that game. It's not an overreaction to say the Rams are going to Detroit. I think that's pretty much a wrap, unless it's possible that the Eagles lose to the Giants and the Rams can actually match them for their record. I don't think that is the case. So I will just sit here and call that what it is. It looks like it's 3-6, and I can't at all assume that that the Rams win that game. Not with the way that I saw the line. The Lions should have won in Dallas. That was a complete 100% set up for a Dan Campbell kneecapping, knee biting, win with Jerry Jones finally putting Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor and every living legend Dallas has from their football past pretty much showing up. And the Lions put it together and almost won a game in which they gave up 227 receiving yards to a wide receiver. So, if you had just said Detroit's going to host the Rams, I would say that's not an overreaction.
But that's not spicy.
I understand that's not spicy. Now, I'll call that an overreaction. And And
but what a story with the storylines if that is the matchup. A double revenge game. Have we ever seen one of those? Jared Goff obviously taking on his old team. Matthew Stafford going back to the Motor City.
Oh,
cannot wait if that is indeed the matchup in 2 weeks.
So, and certainly with the way the Rams are playing too. And
Kieran Williams, another fantasy champion probably.
Kieran Williams, Puka Nacua. By the way, I went against Puka Nacua, David Njoku, and CeeDee Lamb.
Oh no!
This past week in my fantasy final, I'll just lay it all out there to be completely truthful. I did not win. I did not win my fantasy final.
Hey, you made it. I guess that's
well. And Christian McCaffrey went down with a calf strain at the end. I thought I could get through an entire football season with McCaffrey playing every single game from start to finish, but alas, sir. But I'll call that an overreaction. All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
All right, Rich, let's hit on your favorite topic here, your favorite team, your favorite coach. Back from the dead, Mike Tomlin, winners of 3 of 4, and going to have the Steelers in the playoffs.
Now, I think you can hear my dogs barking in the background right now. Other than that, if you did not hear my dogs going ape because somebody's ringing the doorbell right now, you'd be hearing the silence of my Twitter feed.
Again, second week in a row.
Second week in a row. Where I looked at my Twitter feed and I did not see all the Steeler fans saying, "You own this, Rich. Is this the type of coaching performance you want to see from Mike Tomlin? Is this the sort of championship performance?" I got to tell you, man, that team that I saw in Indianapolis that couldn't get a first down, that couldn't do anything on offense, where I'm looking at Kurt Warner in the booth during a commercial break saying, and I think we even said it on the air once, like, if you've got Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and George Pickens and Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth, shouldn't you be putting up more than one touchdown a game? And they went to Seattle and they put up 30. Oh, the problem for them is the number of losses that they did rack up are coming home to roost right now in terms of their playoff positioning. They lost to Houston and they lost to Indianapolis. And those are the two teams that are also 9-7
right.
in the standings. And that's why they put the Steelers and the Colts on the same day on Saturday next week, because they're just going to hash out the 7 seed pretty much right then and there for a couple of teams. And before even Sunday's action hits. So what may be the most infuriating thing for Steeler fans is that Tomlin still keeps his record streak of number of consecutive years of a winning record, 17 yep. years.
Crazy.
And they still don't make the playoffs. And part of that may be because he didn't turn to Mason Rudolph soon enough. So maybe. I get it with the Steeler fans, but you also have to understand how great a coach this guy is, that he looks at George Pickens and says, yeah, you know, you're infuriating, but you're playing and you're going to keep playing and you're going to do well. Or, yeah, yeah, Najee Harris, you know, it's a little bit infuriating to see, you know, some of the lack of rushing yards, and we miss seeing your ability to get in the end zone. And that may not be your fault entirely, but we're going to keep on plugging away. And he scores twice in Seattle. Jaylen Warren scores as well. Mason Rudolph looks like Big Ben back there. I'll be straight up with you. He looks big and he looks like he's moving around really well and he's seeing the field and they're playing well. I just don't know if they're going to make the playoffs because they lost to Houston early on and then they lost to Indianapolis in December, and those two losses may come home to roost to keep them out.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned the Ravens locked up the 1 seed earlier. They may not play anyone this week, so Pittsburgh could be 10-7 at home in the playoffs. That'd be a tough pill to swallow.
And then they may not make it. We will see. We will see how it all finishes up.
All right, Rich, a 2-minute warning here in the first half. Let's end this strong. I liked what I saw in Minnesota last night. We kind of started the year talking about Jordan Love. Then he had his little rough patch. And he has really come on here in the last month. Rich, this is so hot. Oh, I love starting the year like this. Rich, Jordan Love is going to win more Super Bowls than Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
All right. This is an overreaction. Dude, you're Rich, out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
You know, Jordan Love has 30 touchdowns in his first year as the Packers starter. Aaron Rodgers in his first year as the Packers starter, 28. Brett Favre in his first year as the Packers starter, 18. I'm going to do the math. 30 is more. Jordan Love's going to have a better career than both those guys.
Let me ask you a question. If you counted passing touchdowns in the early part of Dan Marino's career and then extrapolated that out to Super Bowls, how does that look to you right now? You know what I mean? Like this is an outstanding metric that shows that the Packers have found a quarterback that fits their system, that's very coachable, that the coach can connect with and do it again. Okay, I don't know what the it is. The it right now is winning football games that you don't expect them to win, okay? Or winning games that they should win. But we're seeing some ups and downs. The defense definitely on the back end, despite having no Jaire Alexander or Eric Stokes, did have the benefit of having a rookie start, Jaren Hall, and then get benched for Nick Mullins in a game that was already a horse out of the barn. So I'm just going to pump the brakes here and say win more championships than – so win three Super Bowls in his career?
No, the floor is one. The floor is one. All he has to do is win one, and he's on the same level of those guys. I think he wins two in 15 years. How
okay,
about that?
So I thought you said combined.
Yeah, not combined. I'm just saying Rodgers and Favre, each one.
It's entirely possible, but to sit here right now and call your shot like that and ask me to join you by your side hip to hip is a complete overreaction. But I will say – that we have seen the signs, and we saw it again over the last couple of weeks when the Packers surged, and we were talking on this pod about they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to win a playoff game, they're going to be the proverbial team you don't want to see. I think that could be the Rams from the wild card group in the NFC, and definitely the Browns, and whoever loses the final game of the season, game 272 between the Dolphins and the Bills, could be a 6 seed, by the way. The difference in that game is either you're the 2 seed with maybe 2 home playoff games, right? Or you're the 6 seed with no home playoff games going to, you know, visit the team that you've just beaten. Or the team that you've just lost to in the first round of the playoffs, potentially. depending on how everything else shakes out. So, you know, it is insane to think that this Packers team is going to win more championships with Jordan Love than Aaron Rodgers or Favre individually right now. But kudos to them. They've got a young quarterback that really can do it and has That's made awesome. Plays with wide receivers that last year were too young for the OG, but are now right now perfect peers for the young kid. And we'll see what the Packers do in the playoffs. It does appear that they have a good shot to be the seventh seed and then show up to Dallas. I mean, Packers at Dallas, a super wild card weekend with Jordan Love trying to pull off what Favre and Rodgers did back in the day is a nice juicy piece of filet mignon for a 2-7 matchup. And that's possible for us to see that. So I'll
love it. Jordan was doing the jump pass yesterday. We're breaking out the old far footage, man. It's great. The Packers, they did it again with a quarterback.
I'll call this an overreaction though for the moment. And we have reached halftime and just want to let you know again about our relationship with Game Time tickets. Go and take the Game Time app and put it on your mobile device. You'll open it up and you will see a very easy to use, eye pleasing app with all the different theater events, comedy, music, sports events that you can get tickets to right now, and just two taps and get tickets right now and see the view from the seat right now, and also get all-in prices for your purchase right now, so you know everything up front what it's going to cost with all-in pricing. In a full house of kids that Susie and I have, with a couple of dogs and traveling to different states and have different allegiances to different teams, Game Time is the perfect solution to finding tickets to satisfy everyone in this house. And in your house, you can use our perfect promo code named Overreaction for $20 off your first purchase. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Restrictions apply. Visit gametime.co for terms. Again, create your account, redeem the code OVERReaction, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi guys, Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people, because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, Christopher, we are now in the second half of our second-to-last regular season edition of Overreaction Monday. Go ahead. What do you have next for me, sir?
Rich, I'm looking. Obviously, these could change after next week. I'm sure they will. But when I look at the NFL playoff standings right now, I look at the lower-seeded teams, 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. AFC, Cleveland, Buffalo, the Colts right now, NFC, Eagles, Rams, Packers. Rich, I'm going to say on Wild Card Weekend, 3 lower seeded teams are going to win games.
Okay, I think the Browns are one of them. And I think, you think the Eagles would beat the NFC South winner right now? I know this, by the way, the Saints did to the Bucks what the Saints do to the Bucks. Brady must be sitting at home saying, you know, like Rick Dalton GIF from his chair. Like, no. I noticed that. I recognize that. And so the Bucks are still in a win and in Carolina position to make the playoffs. So all they have to do is dodge, an upset minded team, and also the drinks of the owner, and they will make the playoffs as the NFC South champs. And then that'll be an interesting playoff game. I think the Bucks could beat the Eagles the way the Eagles are playing right now.
Eagles don't look good right now. There's a lot
I'm sounding this all out. I don't think the seventh seed wins in Dallas. I just don't, man. Dallas just is killing it at home. And yeah. I don't see, you know, a Johnson stepping moment that almost happened figuratively and literally on Saturday night against the Lions.
I mean, what was the clock management there for Mike McCarthy?
Not great. I don't know why he left 40 more seconds on the clock by having Dak throw it at 2nd and 14 way out of bounds. When that happened, I'm like, give me a break. You just let the Lions back in this if they can get off the field, which they ended up doing, as we all know. Thanks to Aiden Hutchinson's 3-sack night, which gives me a belief that maybe it is a good weekend for me.
Hey.
Let me sound this out again. Do I think the Colts or the Steelers or the Texans go into Buffalo or Miami and win a playoff game? Do I think the Dolphins or the Bills go into Kansas City and win a playoff game?
There you go.
I think the Browns are winners the way they're playing. The Flacco-Sants, bro.
Flacco-Sants, man. We were on that.
The Flacco-Sants, bro, is unbelievable.
It's so awesome.
I don't know if you have another Browns subject matter.
I don't.
Okay. They are truly unbelievable and playing way better than anything we've seen with Deshaun Watson at the controls there or any other quarterback, quite frankly. Way better than Baker Mayfield at the controls when Stefanski won 11-plus games. In winning coach of the year in his first year there.
Baker won a playoff game, so, you know.
No, I know that. He destroyed, he eviscerated the Steelers. I think they look better than that team.
Yeah,
honestly. Flacco is a more of an OG type hand that was a game where if they didn't run the ball, they were toast. If they didn't run the ball very well, they were toast. I think the Browns can win multiple ways right now. So I'll call this an overreaction. I can't find three road teams right now. It's where I could just immediately come down and say, you're on it. I'll call that an overreaction, but good food for thought. What else you got?
Good one. One of the big stories from last week and over the weekend, the Broncos, their quarterback situation. Russell Wilson seemingly got done a little dirty by the organization, but Rich, I'm going to say Russell Wilson will be a starting quarterback somewhere in 2024.
I don't know. I will call that an overreaction. I need to see it. It's possible he could be a starting quarterback in Denver too, because if they do the math, it may be like, okay, it's cheaper to keep him to use the divorce phrase that you kind of hear. It's not completely over there from what I'm hearing, but it does quite appear to be, for sure, a dicey situation. I don't know about dirty. I've heard they were talking to him back in the summer about the exact thing that they didn't bench him for eventually. I just don't know where he would be a starting quarterback. Who would bring him in? At the freight that he's currently making, I guess he would have to be cut, which would then put him out there for anybody to go get. Who would be that team, Chris? Somebody that drafts a rookie quarterback to have him there?
What about this one? This is something that I've been seeing on my feed just because of the team that I'm a fan of. What if New England misses out on a top three pick and has to take an offensive lineman or one of these receivers? And they go get Russell Wilson as a stopgap for a year or two to match up with one of these young kids that they draft.
So Russ would be a stopgap quarterback. That's basically
He's going to be 36 next year. So he's up there in age.
This one is just up in the air. It's up in the air for me. I can't sit here and say 100%. Oh, he will definitely be a starting quarterback next year.
He played well this year. I don't think Denver's struggle should be on him.
Maybe we should get Kurt Warner on the show again. That's all. He shows me tons of X's and O's where there's wide open guys he doesn't hit. Russ cooks in the fourth quarter and he, you know, throws it up for Courtland.
You're trying to put Russ's, you know, square peg in the round hole of the offense. You're trying to run. I mean, that's on a coaching.
I'm just going to call that an overreaction. I need to see it. I need to see what situation, you know, because he'll be cut. March, he'll be out there. I don't know how many teams are just going to jump on him. He may be like Baker Mayfield, you know, sitting at home and waiting to see what his options are going to be deep into the spring. That could be Russell Wilson's future. So I can't sit here and say for sure, absolutely, he's going to be a starting quarterback next year. What else you got? That's an overreaction.
We just talked about the NFC South. Man, I expected more out of the Bucs this week. I was ready to crown them. I did crown them a couple of weeks ago. Rich, I think there's a path. I think the Saints are going to win the NFC South. No. They've won three of the last four. Derek Carr is balling. He's scoring 30 points in fantasy leagues. If you need a quarterback, I like what they're doing in New Orleans. Why can't they win the South, make the playoffs?
Because the Bucs are going to go into Carolina and win it. And that'll be the end of that. So, I mean, the Bucs remarkably are still in a win in Carolina and in scenario. And I don't think they're going to blow that. And I think we're going to look back at that Thursday night game that we were at in Los Angeles against the Rams and just wonder if, you know, a couple of plays here or there or decisions that Dennis Allen made right before halftime and, you know, to go for it and left the door open for the Rams to score on either side of halftime and then go onside kick with 3+ minutes to go rather than just play defense and get the ball back and try. We're going to be talking about stuff like that. And, there are some people certainly who are, you know, out here with my Michigan Wolverines who are nervous about Jim Harbaugh's future with our team, wondering if New Orleans could be a spot for him. So, I don't know. I would go if this was the what's more likely segment we do on our show, that the Saints win the division or Dennis Allen and the Saints miss it and they part ways. I would go with that more than them winning the division. So I'll call this an overreaction.
Ooh, let me write that down for Friday coming up, Rich. Good one.
Okay.
Okay. A couple more. Again, the roller coaster in Buffalo was rolling on yesterday, Sunday, when they were suddenly losing after 14 seconds to the Patriots. And what a wild game that was. Josh Allen didn't do much, did run a couple in. But I still think, Rich, the Bills are the best chance to knock off the Ravens in the AFC.
I agree. That's 100%. I agree. You know me, man. I've been on this. And I know that the way that they looked against Coach Giff, or needing some rabbits pulled out of the hat to overcome the big Giff energy on that Saturday night here in Los Angeles against the Chargers and how they struggled against New England to actually put that game away gives people pause about the Bills. I don't at all. There have been many teams that have struggled to win games that they should be blowing teams out in December that go on to win Super Bowls. You know, the Eagles against the Raiders with Nick Foles is one. The Saints many years ago, you know, starting undefeated, then struggling to get some momentum going into their championship run against the Colts, another. I'm all for the Bills, man. I think that that is the 100% team the Ravens just would prefer to get knocked off somehow, some way. Yeah. And that would open a path for the Ravens. I think, I think the Ravens could beat the Bills, but I do believe sure. The Bills are, oh, and you know, another one is the Browns. As brother, I'm telling you, you don't want to see division opponents.
I don't think so
either. And you don't want to see division opponents that are playing nonstop ascendant football, just like constantly every week. And you don't want to see teams that are division teams on full head of steam and momentum coming into your house, okay, with an air of invincibility, thinking this is our year. And also, you don't want all of those together being quarterbacked by your former Super Bowl MVP in a run for the ages, which all Ravens fans know Joe Flacco can do in the playoffs. Yeah. So the Bills have the best chance. I'll just to be consistent, I will say that that is not an overreaction, but do not discount the way the Browns are playing to knock off the Ravens as well in the playoffs.
Man, Ravens Browns AFC championship game
would be nuts.
Oh baby, that would be nuts. Okay, last one, Rich. We are recording this about 6 hours before the Rose Bowl and the other semifinal, Texas Washington.
Yes,
but I couldn't help but notice a certain score over the weekend in the Orange Bowl, 63-3. Rich, Georgia stomping at FSU proved they should have been in the Final Four.
Meaning who was out? Alabama?
Hey, Alabama, Texas, take your pick.
But you can't.
Rich, I think Georgia proved that they were one of the four best teams all season long.
Texas beat Alabama. The idea of their conference.
The playoff is to get the four best teams. How do you leave the two-time defending champ even though they lost the SEC championship
Morris
game.
They also had all those decommits or, you know, or transfer portals, I should say, to use the proper phrase.
Georgia
also
lost
all the kids that sat out, and I know Georgia did too, but they're deeper. Let's be honest. And I know that you're saying that that'll be an indication of your point being correct and not an overreaction. But who would you take out?
Come on, dude.
They made a point. I know they totally made a point. So that'll be up to Michigan to maybe make your point even more secure by taking out Alabama, because you can't put Alabama in over Georgia after Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. And you can't put Alabama in over Texas because Texas had won their conference and had beaten Alabama in the process out of conference. You can't do that. And you can't take a team like Washington, having won the Pac-12, being undefeated, and say you can't go when they have a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback, unlike Florida State. So it was just a numbers game and a fascinating 60-point dub that Georgia breaks their own record set in last year's national championship game for biggest blowout bowl win in the history of bowl games. I'll just call that an overreaction.
It's kind of funny. The fourth and 31 play in the SEC title game.
You mean the Iron Bowl is what you
mean.
Yeah,
excuse me. Yeah, the Iron Bowl. That play to win the game from Jalen Milroe to Bond, like that had so many ripple effects now.
It did.
Looking back on it on the rest of the college football season.
A million percent it did, because it kept Alabama's ability to win the SEC championship and get in to the college football playoff alive, as opposed to just spitting their last breath to spite Georgia. I mean, let's just say if that had happened, I think Florida State would have made it, and no SEC teams would have made it.
Or you could have just kept the same thing, just kept Georgia. Hey, look, I know they lost, but Alabama has two losses. We still think they're one of the four best teams. Florida State has an injury situation with their quarterback, and we think the better matchup, the better TV show program is Georgia-Michigan in the Rose Bowl.
All right, Chris, it's now time to give all of our viewers and listeners of Overreaction Monday podcast to chew on something for the next 6-7 days, a prediction of what we'll be overreacting to next week. I nailed mine from last week, which was the Miami Dolphins are trash again.
So you did. Man, I can't believe that game. What was your feelings watching Baltimore do that to
they
Miami?
Just eviscerate. And by the way, I don't want to hear people saying that Baltimore shouldn't have thrown when they already had a 40 burger, that this thing was decided and it was wrong of them to throw a pass and rub it in and all that stuff. Give me a break. The Dolphins won a game 70-20 earlier this year. And they put 70 on the Denver Broncos earlier this year. Wow. So come on. And it was a backup Tyler Huntley. Come on.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear that the Dolphins had been done dirty. Although, you know what? That'll just set up things for the next game. But the Dolphins have hobbled Tyreek Hill, didn't have Waddle, didn't have Mostert. But the Ravens fans will no doubt sit here and say, we didn't have a bunch of players all year long, and look at us now. And they also didn't have Kyle Hamilton, who's, as you know, my third son, which I have to say, actually, under my breath a little bit here, because my two actual sons could overhear it right now. So what is your final, what is your prediction for next week?
Rich, I have to stand pat behind the moxie and the intent of the memo. I'm going to say that the Patriots are going to get one of the top two picks in the NFL draft. I think the Jets, Rich, is going to be your week. You're going to beat Michigan, going to beat Alabama. Then the Jets are going to beat the Patriots boom, gift us our new franchise quarterback. Of course, that's going to be an overreaction because New England's going to do what they do. And Chad Byland's finally going to make a field goal and we're going to blow it. And then we're going to end up taking some lineman that no one's ever heard of. So wishful for a top two pick. And I'm going to say that.
Way to use your space wisely, Chris. And here's my prediction we're going to be overreacting to. We're going to be overreacting to the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFC after they destroy the Washington Commanders. And the 49ers have their issues with the Rams. And, you know,
Sam Darnold's going to start, right?
McCaffrey's going to be out with his calf strain, and Sam Darnold. And so the Niners will literally limp into the playoffs as the one seed while the Dallas Cowboys go in and destroy the Washington Commanders in a way that they didn't in week 18 last year. And they're going to be at home for at least two playoff games where they haven't lost all year. And this is the Dallas Cowboys year because they're the best team in the NFC, despite being the two seed. You're going to see that everywhere.
Well, every Cowboys fan, they think the curse is over because Jimmy and Jerry have patched it up. And how great was that? How about them Cowboys?
It was great. And I love how he leaned into Michael and Emmett while he did it, while Troy was just standing there all regal, smiling like, you guys have your fun. And as a proud guy, by the way, because I know he worked behind the scenes quite a bit to make sure that that happened. He was quite the diplomat behind the scenes to get that to happen. But that's my overreaction. That will be prediction. All right, Chris. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Rich. Happy New Year. Enjoy the football game, and hopefully I'll see you on good circumstances.
Yes,
tomorrow.
And we'll be back on the Rich Eisen Show all week long, getting you ready for the final week of the National Football League season, and back with everything going on else in the sports world. For Chris Brockman, I'm Rich Eisen, signing off from Overreaction Monday, the 1st in 2024. Happy New Year, everybody.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.